Backstrom. Backhand pass to the point. Winding up, thinking. Ovechkin wrists it. Big rebound. They score. Backstrom off the kick save by Price. Puts it home. And it's 1-0 Washington. Canadians on the perimeter. Byron chipping it out front. Plekanec hit the post. Chance out front. Or did Byron get to Holtby get it? A rebound. Plekanec scores. Thomas Plekanec on the power play. And it's 1-1. Great work by the Habs. Now here comes Kuznetsov. Nice move right in. Scores. He danced around Petrie. And Kuznetsov with a beautiful goal. And the Caps have their lead back just like that.
I know, he has the ability to make moves like that, but, you know, I put myself in a bad position, with no speed and had my feet facing the wrong direction. And, you know, I think, you know, guys with that skill can see that, and he obviously, made the move.
Backstrom one more time, finds Ovechkin, scores, and he ties Rocket Richard with goal number 544, Alex Ovechkin.
Watching Ovi's goal to tie that the Rocket, that exceptional shot. I mean,
it's a history place, and it's nice to be in that involved in the history. Tie him in probably one of the best building and best atmosphere in the NHL. It's pretty impressive, and I'm pretty happy for it.
Tu oublies ce match-là, puis faut repartir à neuf lors du prochain match à Winnipeg. Tout aussi simple que ça. Il n'y a pas 1000 recettes. Là.
Welcome back, hour number 3, Melnick in the afternoon, TSN 690 last night at the Bell Center. Habs travel today, Winnipeg and Minnesota back-to-back later in the week. Right now, along with Rod Francis and Mitch Gallo, we're going to St. Louis, where the Blues host the Bruins tonight.
Hockey insider Pierre Maguire, brought to you by Ye Olde Orchard Pub, with 6 locations in and around Montreal. YeOldOrchard.com.
Good afternoon, Pierre. How you doing?
Did you take a deep breath?
Oh, yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
Everybody together, calm, cool, and collected?
We're trying. You know, sometimes, okay. Sometimes it works.
You know that's a good team that they lost to last.
That is one of the best teams in the NHL that happens to be right now the hottest, maybe the hottest team in the NHL. And I just discovered, I knew that TJ Oshie was out. I didn't realize, as Mitch Gallo informed us, that they have missed just 10-man games because of injuries this season, and Oshie's missed 7 of them.
Yes, he's missed a lot of them, and that's a bad time for him to miss because he's got the potential to be an unrestricted free agent at the end of the year. What's interesting about their team, when we spoke yesterday, I told you about the importance of Backstrom and Kuznetsov, and when they're going, that team's completely different. They have not been going most of this year, and they definitely did not go in the playoffs last year. They are going now, and that is problematic for the rest of the league. And one of the things that I found really interesting, and it's a moment in history that I'll never forget. You always remember big moments. I was sitting in my hotel room in St. Louis trying to do some prep while I was watching the game, and I had a little bit of the football too. But Ovechkin's goal, we all see him with that big slap shot and the one-timer. There are very few men in the league, maybe in the history of the league, that could shoot the puck the way he did yesterday. The catch and release and the quickness and the velocity on that shot off the feed from Backstrom, that is a moment in history people should never forget if they were watching or if you were at the game. Because that's not usually how he shoots that kind of a pass. And that's a one-time slapper,
yeah,
not a one-time wrister.
Very few goals I have seen scored in the NHL like that. Ray Ferraro is back after the World Junior Hockey Championship, and he said maybe Mike Bossy. And you couldn't do it with the old wooden sticks, right? I mean, there is...
No, me too. Not enough width. Brett Hull could do that I could remember drawing up plans for. Michel Goulet could do that I remember drawing up plans for. Cam Neely could do that. I'm just thinking about guys that I had coached against when they were playing and they were really important power play players. Stevie Larmer could do that. Yari Curry could do that. But there are very few that had the ability to put that kind of velocity on it. That's the difference. That was a smoker. That wasn't just a little, powder puff shot. That thing had serious heat on it.
And I think even Canadians fans at that point in the game didn't mind seeing the Rocket tied by Alex Ovechkin.
No, why would you? And I bet you if the Rocket was still living, he would have been the first person to stand up and applaud. It's like I told you, when if Vinny LeCavalier had ever ended up in Montreal, I bet you the one man that would have wanted him to wear number four would have been Jean Béliveau. He would have stood up and applauded. That's how great those men were. They understand that there are people coming behind them that are going to do phenomenal things in the game. And, but no, I'm sure Mr. Richard would have stood up and would have applauded that. He would have appreciated the greatness of Ovechkin.
How about Jeff Petrie explaining?
Why, yeah.
Wasn't that great? That was Gallo asking him about what happened on that play.
Yeah. You know what? I think, Jeff, and you're the first person, I like to give you kudos when you're right, and you're right more times than not. You were on Petrie right from the start. And I think, personally, his turning point was when they had the game and there was a collision in the crease with New Jersey, and he didn't fight back on Palmieri. Remember? And I said, there in the old days, number 26 would have done a tap dance on Palmieri. But he didn't. And I think, for whatever reason, I think that got to him. Not that I said it or other people may have said it, but I think he realized, you know what, I'm playing in Montreal. I better get going here. And he has. I think he's been really solid.
And we know how talented Kuznetsov is, and it's not like he's not generating any offense, but I didn't realize that was just his fifth goal of the season.
Well, that's what I told you yesterday. He's had a terrible year. I mean, he's had a bad year. And I know he's angry about it. One of his running mates is in the game here tonight, Tarasenko, who's got 20 goals. And there's a little competition between three Russian guys in the league. Panarin in Chicago, Tarasenko here in St. Louis, and Kuznetsov in Washington. In the 2011 World Junior, they were the line that beat Canada in the third period. And those guys love to get after one another and challenge one another. So, yeah, it's kind of neat. But, no, he has not had a great year. But now he's starting to heat up, as we said before.
All right, Pierre, you know by now, and it, you know I hate, you know how I hate the All-Star game.
I know, but let's be fair now.
Yes,
first of all, congratulations to Michel Therrien. I hope you're going to say that.
Yes, I already did several times.
And I know you're probably ticked off that Pacioretty's not in, right?
No, I don't care.
No, I don't care.
Are you
happy that Shea's there? Are you happy Shea's there?
If I'm a Canadiens fan, I wouldn't want to see Shea Weber there playing 26 minutes a night.
Come on, grow the game. Open up for me, pal. Come on.
I understand why he's there, but I'm not watching. My eyeballs will not be on the game.
Watch.
No.
I'm going to bug you. You're going to watch.
If you want to, I don't even know where this game is. Where is the game?
Los Angeles.
Well, if you want to make me watch the game, that could be arranged.
Now, here's a question I have for you.
Yeah.
If I were to provide you and a guest
two
tickets, so you would get tickets to the Skills on Saturday, the NHL private party on Saturday night, and the game Sunday. If I were to provide you with two tickets to all those things, the only thing you have to do is get a hotel room and a plane ticket. Would you do it?
Well, I don't need a hotel room. I know people in L.A. And,
okay, and I'm promising you that right now, I'm telling you, Rod, I will have them FedEx to him, or I will get them to you at the game. I'm challenging you. You know how they have the rooster contest, those two guys in our studio?
Yeah.
So here's my challenge to you. If I get you those two tickets, will you come?
Is John Hamm going to be at this private party?
I have no idea. I don't go.
Oh, so you're inviting me to a party that you don't even go to?
I don't go to the party. I go to do other stuff.
All right, so if I took the tickets and went to the skills competition but sold the tickets to the game, would that be okay?
Yes.
Oh, how about that? Wow, this is difficult to turn down.
You'll bite, yes, but I think you'd still come.
When is the date?
Last weekend of January.
Okay, let me double check with the people I work for.
Open. Yeah, John
let me
Francis, let, you heard me. I'm leaving it open.
Let me double check with the people I work for. They may have other ideas, but anyway,
you
yes, congratulations.
You know what? I'll tell you what. Here's the other deal I'll make with you. You can tell them this. If you were to come out on Thursday after you were done work, you and I will do your show live from LA. I will do it the entire time with you from LA.
Your
segment on Friday.
On Friday, 3 to 6.
On All-Star Friday.
Yeah.
I will sit in a studio with you wherever they can set it up, and we will do the show live. And I'll stay with you the entire time, and I won't charge you.
But what if NBC says
come to All-Star Weekend?
What if NBC says, Pierre, we've got plans for you? You can't do that show with
Melnick. They don't have plans for me on Friday. I'm busy enough Saturday and Sunday.
All right, I do recognize that a good chunk of our listeners do care about this.
Good.
So, is there anything that struck you in terms of omissions or guys that were named?
Well, I am not a fan of every team has to be represented. For instance, I would have, if you're asking me the best player on the Phoenix or Arizona Coyotes, I would tell you it's Oliver Ekman-Larsson. I understand why he's not there, because they needed goalies, because they wanted Cam Fowler, who really has merited being on there. Cam Fowler's had a phenomenal year. So that one shocked me a little bit, not having Oliver Ekman-Larsson. I am a huge Bo Horvat fan. I'm probably, there's some people that don't watch Vancouver play a lot unless they're in their rink. Bo Horvat's had a tremendous year. So I understand
he's their best player.
Would say he shouldn't be there, but he's their best player.
Yeah.
He's their best player. Now, if you did it by not every team has to be represented, then he probably wouldn't be there. Now, the one omission that's really glaring is Cam Atkinson.
Mm-hmm.
That's glaring that he's not there.
You know how many times
I've
heard people say the Columbus Blue Jackets are having an amazing year and they don't have any star power. And it's like,
yes, they do.
Well,
watch their team. Zach Werenski, Seth Jones, Cam Atkinson.
And their goalie.
Those guys are stars. And he's gone. Bobrovsky's gone. But you're right. They have plenty of stars.
Who's your coach of the year? The halfway point.
Well, you asked me that out of the blue. Now I have to think because I don't want to slight anybody. I would say Torts.
Mm-hmm.
I would say Torts. And you know who's probably right up there with him? He's a nominee, at least, and I get the vote. Michel Therrien.
Yeah, no question. He's part of the discussion.
I would have Boudreaux. Those would be my three right now. Boudreaux in Minnesota, Therrien in Montreal, and Tortorella in Columbus. Those would be my top three right now.
If Brent Burns isn't your Norris Trophy winner, who is?
Ryan Suter.
Okay.
My nominees are Weber, Suter, and Burns. Those are my nominees.
Wow. Okay. How about the Vezina?
I'd say Holtby, Price, and then I got to think.
Dubnyk.
What?
Devan Dubnyk.
I know what people are going to say, but what about the guy Martin Jones? Does anybody watch San Jose play? I mean, yes, I would say Devan, but I'm just saying it's a lot tighter than you think. If you watch, and I know you do, but a lot of people don't. Some of these other guys that don't get seen a lot, there's some pretty good ones out there that aren't being seen a lot.
Who's the best player in the league through 41 games not named Sidney Crosby?
You won't like what I have to say.
I always like what you have to say, especially when you invite me out to L.A.
Austin Matthews.
Austin Matthews is the best player in the league? Not.
I think Austin Matthews and Connor McDavid are battling it out for 2 and 3. You might not like me saying that, but I'm telling you, this guy, every game, he does something that gets me out of my seat.
Well, I want you to listen, if you haven't already, to something Michael Farber said in the final hour of the show last night.
Would you rather be a fan of the Montreal Canadiens right now or a fan of the Toronto Maple Leafs? I think you might make a good argument to be a fan of Toronto Maple Leafs. It's a ways away, and they're big holes, especially on the back end. And I'm not sold on Frederik Andersen as number one at all. But yeah, there's some players that you would pay good money to watch.
And I think that's a little bit out of context. What Michael said prior to that was that, you know, assuming the Canadiens are not winning the Cup this season.
Well, I think the Canadiens have a chance to. I've been pretty firm on that since the beginning. The problem you're going to have in the Eastern Conference is you've got this amazing wealth of depth in the Metropolitan Division. And you can't get, it reminds me so much of the Central, when the Central was the best division. And St. Louis would always get a bad matchup, or Nashville would always get a bad matchup, and usually that bad matchup was Chicago. And you just got to hope that if you're Montreal, you don't get a bad matchup. You know what I'm saying? Which could happen, unfortunately. That's the biggest caveat I have to Montreal not doing well in the playoffs, getting a bad first-round matchup.
Pierre, the power play score, the only goal was Plekanec on the power play.
Yep.
So it looks like it's starting to move again, as we mentioned yesterday. But again, yep, they gave up a penalty kill goal, a shorthanded goal.
Right.
They're down to 21st in the NHL. Their PK success rate is like under 80%. They're so passive out there. This is not the Canadiens team that we're used to seeing, used to attack the puck carrier. And it's not getting any better.
They need to evaluate. The one thing I would do, and I know they listen to you a lot, whether it's Donnie Beauchamp or the coaching staff or Mr. Molson, I know they listen to your show. If I were them, and I know they're playing Winnipeg and Minnesota coming up, I would watch the St. Louis Blues penalty kill and I would watch the Minnesota Wild penalty kill. I'm telling you, Minnesota is Jacques Lemaire reincarnated. It is amazing to watch them penalty kill. And I take the tape of the Anaheim-Minnesota game from Sunday night. I do a lot of St. Louis games. Any game you watch, and watch how they start their penalty kill. Usually it's Steen and Berglund on the ice for faceoffs, and they win, I bet you, 90 to 95% of the initial draws. And then they create havoc with their forecheck. They never let you get an easy entry. That's the greatest part of any of the successful penalty kills in the league today. They win the initial draw because they're always in the offensive zone, so you want to get the puck out. They clear the puck well, and then they create havoc on the forecheck, as you were just talking about.
Yeah, St. Louis and Minnesota tied for fourth overall, almost 86%, with Pierre McGuire on Melnick in the afternoon in St. Louis for the Blues-Bruins matchup on TSN 690. Mitch Melnick, Rod Francis, and Mitch Gallo.
We spent a good part of yesterday's show talking about how the young players thrust into the situation here, Pierre, have performed because of all the injuries. And it must be a feather in the cap of Sylvain Lefebvre, considering most of them, at least in this short period of time, have looked real good with the big club.
You know what I think of Sylvain. When I watched him working in Colorado, I thought he was one of the best assistants out there, and I really credited Montreal when they hired him. He's a really good coach, and he understands the player development side of things. I'll never forget working for Brian Burke, Mitch and Rod, and Mitch Gallo, and this is an important lesson for any team that wants to build a successful group. Brian's thing was, you don't need to win so much at the American League level. You have to create a good workplace environment. You have to develop 2 to 3 players every year that can come through your system and help your team win. And that's exactly what Sylvain's doing there. It's exactly what he's doing there. And so that's his job. I know people want wins. I understand that. And they want championships and all that other stuff. Trust me, the most important thing, and any GM in the league will tell you, have a steady stream of young players that can come to you play for your NHL team, that don't cost a lot of money, and when they come to play for your team, they don't cost you points in the standings. It's really important.
Now, Pierre, from what you've seen from the guys coming up from that American League team that you guys are talking about, if the Canadians want to go get a rental at the deadline, do you think they have the assets to make something happen?
Tell me how deep the rental is. That's the only way I can answer the question, Mitch Gallo, because the biggest thing is, I don't know where the market's going right now. I think the market's kind of waiting for somebody to make a move, and I would not be surprised to see Boston be one of those teams that potentially makes a big move, because they have all those prospects that I've been telling you about for 2 years, and they're not trading Charlie McAvoy. They're not trading him, but they got a lot of other guys that they could trade who are really good players to get them NHL live bodies, so they might create marketplace. So if you're going to try to do something, you should create the marketplace rather than have somebody else dictate the marketplace for you.
Let's say center in the 2 spot or defenseman that can factor in on your second pairing.
That's probably going to be a 2 to 3 component deal. So you're probably going to, depending on the value of your components, you're probably trading 2 or 3 components for that.
I noticed, you know, obviously you look at the standings, you see where Detroit is, and you know the Vanek situation. A lot of teams interested in a guy who could put the puck in the net. There's no way, right? There's no way that Mark Bergevin says Thomas Vanek is available.
No.
Not a chance.
But I would say this in defense of Thomas, and I mean this sincerely. Thomas has found a game there. He's found a game that can really help somebody. Now, I don't know if Montreal wants to walk that, you know, road again with him, just because it didn't go very well when he was there. And that's part of the problem. But Thomas, I think in another place, Thomas could have some value. But I would be surprised if it would be Montreal.
Would you be calling Colorado?
I would be, yeah. Here, again, not trying to do too much to dissuade or encourage, Duchesne I would have significant interest in because of the long-term potential for him. But you have to understand that he can't be a lead dog for you. If you understand that, then you're good. If you think he's coming there to be a lead dog because he's a big name, you're wrong. That's not his strength. That's not his thing. He's a player that needs to be led. He's not going to do the leading. Landeskog is a tremendous player. My concern with Gabriel, he is a leader. He can be a lead dog. My concern with him is I keep hearing about hip problems. And that, for a player that's not a superstar skater, he's a good skater, but not a superstar skater, that worries me a bit long-term, but it wouldn't worry me short-term. It would not.
So I guess I asked this with Colorado in mind, but I'm also thinking about those Oilers teams the past several years. How long is too long for a losing culture to develop? Like, how long can you leave a player in a situation before he becomes like poisoned or contaminated by a losing team?
Did you see what they did last summer? They traded Taylor Hall, who might have been their most explosive forward, you know, besides Connor, obviously. But, you know, so Taylor was drafted in 2010. So...
Well, look, Jeff Petrie is another example. Jeff Petrie came up with the Oilers, and people were always waiting for him to, you know, take that next step. You have to get out of there to do it.
Here's the one. There's a player. There are two players there that I would have real interest in because I do think that they've been there too long, and both of them are Oiler draft picks. I'd be really interested in Jordan Eberle, and I'd be really interested in Ryan Nugent-Hopkins. I'd be really interested in both those players.
All right, so Pierre Maguire, full of trade rumors here in
St.
Louis.
No.
You just did.
No.
You're starting. That's what you're doing.
You asked me if I was I would do, and I would be interested in those players. Yeah. I don't think they're getting traded, so it doesn't matter.
Well, one of them might be.
Maybe.
Yeah. Oh, but so now you're backing off. Now you're backing off because you realize you said something. You
want to
pretend you didn't say it. Yeah. is there an award I didn't ask you about at the halfway point?
I don't know, but you know what? You should watch this game tonight that we're doing because I think you're going to see a very emotional night for David Backes. I think that they are going to put on a show here in St. Louis to welcome him back. It's going to be pretty emotional here, based on what I've been told by the Blues management.
It's going to be tough to match that football game, though, last night.
That football game was out of this world.
Huh? Wasn't that something?
I was sitting with Kenny Albert for the first half, and we were sitting there, and I go, oh, my gosh, Alabama's going to kill these guys. It's just awful. Then I went back to the room, and I was watching hockey and football, and I was like, hey, they're back in the game. Then Alabama scored the two touchdowns, and I was like, oh, this is over. I was just like, oh, my gosh, I got nothing right in this football game. Everything I said was wrong. Everything.
Well, every story needs a great villain, a great hero, and Nick Saban plays the villain pretty well.
Ooh. He's a pretty good winner, though.
Five national championships.
He's a pretty good winner. You know, I don't know if you guys saw it before the game. They did a breakdown. Do you know, one of his first real major coaching jobs was at the Naval Academy. And he worked with... Belichick's dad there.
Wow.
I didn't know that. You know, like, I'd like to think I know a lot about the football stuff, but I didn't know that at all. So yeah. I thought that was pretty cool.
So in addition to a possible trip to L.A., you've given us something else to think about. So let me get back to you on that L.A. offer. It's very gracious of you.
I'm keeping it open.
Yeah. Of course, I'll get out there, and then I won't be able to find them.
Please. Have I ever once done that to you? No.
About six or seven times.
You'll be set. You'll be set.
I appreciate
right
that.
Now.
I know. I appreciate that.
All right.
I'll get back to you. Enjoy the game tonight.
They're hard to get tickets to that. You know? I know you don't like it, but it's hard.
Yeah.
And you would love L.A. Live. L.A. Live is really cool.
Yeah, I've been there. I skated there, actually.
Oh, the rink right downtown
yes,
by Wolfgang Puck?
I sure did with my friend Lonnie Dabrowski, the movie producer. Yep.
It's not good.
Yeah, native Montrealer. Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah, I'm just thinking about this.
Just
now.
Make sure nobody's jumping today because it's only one loss. It's okay. Everybody, it's okay. They're a good team that they lost to last night.
Talk to you tomorrow. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Bye-bye.
Setting up to be one of the great finishes in college football history, no matter how this ends. First and goal from the two. Watson rolls to the right. Watson throws for a touchdown! In the right flat, Hunter Renfrow scores with 1 second to go for the Clemson Tigers.
Wow, has it been 20 years already? Hi, I'm John Orr, founder and one-time carpenter of Ye Olde Orchard Pub Group.